anybody know what today's topic might be about? Oh, freedom. Oh, Karen, you get the prize. Yes, it is freedom. You know, in 2 days, we have the 4th of July. And basically, you know, the 4th of July was when the 13 colonies ratified the Declaration of Independence. Only two people signed it that day, by the way, but that's just trivia. But it was that was the day on July 4th, 1776, that the 13 colonies said enough, and they severed their ties to Great Britain. So the Declaration of Independence, as we know, probably the most familiar lines of that are, we hold these truths to be what? Self-evident, that all men are created by their Creator, by certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So most of us are pretty familiar with that. And so, you know, all men, and I always like to say, all men, all women, you know, all beings are created equal. And the question is, are all beings treated equally? You know, the answer is a resounding no. That's pretty obvious and pretty sad. I mean, how many of you are aware of the recent Supreme Court rulings? Okay, affirmative action is now net less. Oh, and let's see, discrimination about for the LGBTQ folks is now more readily available because, hey, it's my right to deny service to a person of LGBTQ because of my freedom of religious beliefs or creativity. And of course, you already know, we've been through the women's rights, the civil rights, the LGBTQ rights, but things seem to be going in another direction. Of course, you all know the Roe versus Wade. And I'm not really here to talk about politics, because that's not what I'm here for. However, and then you got the news. How many of you don't really want to watch much news? Okay, a lot of us don't, because I don't know about you, but when I hear the news, it's pretty depressing. And it's really easy to get down by listening. So I used to be pretty new anti-news, and then it was, I'm aware that I need to be aware of what's going on in our world. Okay, because there's things that I need to take responsibility. I need things that are mine to do, where to vote, how to vote, what actions I can take, if I need to protest with a sign or stand up or sign something or whatever it is. I need to be aware, because not being aware is dangerous. And so I have to learn balance, to be honest, because certain subjects really bring me down, and I do pay attention to those, and I can see it depresses me. Last night I was watching on PBS the Rick Steves in Europe program, and it was all about why I travel. And as I was watching that, I was so lifted up. I was just like looking at all the good things, and as people travel, and there's really a lot of good things happening in the world. So it was obvious to me that Spirit's going, balance. Balance. Be aware, do your prayer work, and see the good. You know, it's easy to get, it's easy for me, I'll speak for only myself, it's easy for me to get sucked up into things that really annoy me, irritate me, things that I think are not right for our world, and especially for the rights of people. And then I don't even want to get started on our planet and how we're taking such great care of planet Earth. Don't go there, Liz. That's next week. So we're talking about freedom. So what exactly is freedom? The definition. It's always good to start with that. Freedom is the power to act, to think, to speak as one wants without hindrance or restraint, without being controlled, or limited. Number two definition, the condition of not being in prison or in captivity. And number three, the condition of being free of restraints. Interesting. We cannot actually know what freedom is unless it's in the context of its opposite. Okay? Freedom isn't anything unless we understand that there is an opposite to what freedom is. The words that are opposite are bondage, prison, restraints, limitation, captivity, confinement, imprisonment, slavery, and servitude. So freedom is this thing. Did you know that it's actually the divine plan? Who knew that it was the divine plan, freedom? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, good for you. Well, I'm going to share with you Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of the Science of Mind, and I believe he's the soul brother of Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, because they're talking about the same principles. They looked at all the different types of religion and what is it that actually works in all. In the Science of Mind text, on the very first page, Ernest Holmes writes, the divine plan is one of freedom. Hey, if Ernest said it, it must be true, right? But he says, bondage is not God ordained. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul. All instinctively feel this. The truth points to freedom under law. Now, that's an interesting statement. The truth points to freedom under law. What does that mean? The word law means that there are universal laws and principles that work all the time for everyone, no matter what. Okay? So there are laws, universal principles and laws, that when we're in alliance with them, in harmony with them, understand them, then we are more free. But there has to be some type of restraint or a law that actually we can work with and not against, because the laws are always working either for us or against us by means of how we're using the laws. That's why we teach. That's why we talk about these principles and laws. And what does that mean? Well, that's what you get to study in, like, the books, The Five Principles by Ellen Davenport. He says, thus the inherent nature of man is forever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. You know, you look at a little kid, do they look like their parents are trying to confine them, right? As a little kid, did you run free? Did you have any? You were fearless. You ran about and did everything. And my nephew, Jacob, I remember watching him at 4 years old, and he fell down and he scraped his knee. And he went crying in the house. Mom and Dad cleaned it up, put a Band-Aid on it, probably gave him a little hug and a kiss. Next thing you know, 2 minutes later, he's out playing again because he was free. I called it Jacob's mind. That's my nephew's name. He's now 22. I told him this. He's like, what? He was 4. I said, I want to have Jacob's mind where I trust the universe like he trusts his parents were going to be there for him. If I had that type of trust, and I'm working on that, trust of the universe is here for me, not against me. And as I do that, then I'm more free. So just a little tidbit of that. He also, Ernest says, we would do well to listen to this inner voice. Who has inner voices? Who knows which one is God and which one is yours, right? We have voices in our head. Hey, I know we have self-talk. I call it the bus of us. But we want to listen to that still small voice, that inner voice, because it tells us that the life is wonderful in its scope, a love beyond our fondest dreams, and a freedom which all the souls crave and long to have and be. I think it's really actually very sad that our world is so restrictive and fear-based. You know, anyone else? Just all the fears. And we have, of course, there's many aspects of freedom, what freedom is. Ones we're maybe most familiar with are the political freedoms or the religious freedoms, freedom to be able to express oneself. So we hear of those, and those are great, and they're outer expressions. There is also within us a more profound freedom, and that is the freedom to think, the freedom to be free from mental and emotional conditioning, and the freedom to fully express the person you came here to be. I tell you, the LGBTQ community is feeling less and less free to be who they are. That is really a sad thing for me to understand. So those freedoms that I just spoke of, these are the province of the mind and not of the church or state. One of the greatest examples of that type of freedom, this gentleman says, our greatest freedom is the freedom to choose our attitude. Who might this be? Any guesses? No. Here's another one. Here's another one for you. I'll get to it, but I'll see if you can. Forces beyond your control can take away everything you possess except one thing, your freedom to choose how you will respond to a situation. Yes. Viktor Frankl, he was in the concentration camp. Most of us are aware of him. This is the quote that would have spoke up more of him. He says, we who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. He actually refused to hate those that were killing, torturing. He refused to hate. He said, you can't make me hate you. That just blows my mind, right? But we have a power within us that is far greater than what we have perhaps entertained or known. So some of you may have heard this analogy before. So how many of you have been to a circus before? Okay. And you've seen the elephants, yes? And the big 5,000-pound kilo elephant is there, and he has a little rope around his leg and a little peg, a wooden peg, stuck in the ground. Now, what is preventing this humongous being, giant creature, from uplifting that little peg when he could actually uplift an entire telephone pole? Well, what prevents that elephant is how that elephant was trained as a baby. As a baby elephant comes into the circus, gets a chain wrapped around its leg, and is attached to a 3-foot iron stake in the ground. This little elephant tries to be free like a child, like us as kids, and parents go no. Well, this saint is actually telling him no. And then he goes this way, and he can't get very far. So he keeps trying to work to be free, because he was born free. So this elephant, I'm sure it hurts his leg, because it may be even cutting into his leg. And what happens is, after a while, baby elephant gives up trying, stops trying, because obviously it's useless and it's painful to try to move about past the parameters. Well, here you go. 10 years later, that five kilo pound elephant is now 5,000 pounds. And yet, it hath now a little twig, a little peg in the ground, and a little rope. What's stopping it is not the rope. It's its beliefs. It's the beliefs that it has acquired, knowing that, hey, I can't break away. No, how is that like us, right? Do we all have pegs of things that we think we can or cannot do that we probably got from childhood? We, you know, our parents may do the best they know how, but they're doing what perhaps was given to them. So there's no blame about it, but it's to understand that we have subconscious beliefs. We might have been told, you're not good enough. You can't do that. You can't have that. You don't have enough. You're not smart enough, strong enough, big enough, talented enough. So we get these beliefs, and they aren't even the conscious beliefs. They're actually in the subconscious, underneath the surface. And we are captivities. We're in captivity. We are held by that chain and that stake. Now, the difference between this elephant and us is that we actually have something called free will. Free will means that I have a choice. You have a choice. We have a choice to look at our beliefs and to look at what is the belief that is holding me back. Now, it's in the subconscious, and that's what I work with people in spiritual counseling to go, what is that belief that is holding me back? I've had a few, like love hurts. That held me back. That was a belief that I held. Hey, love hurts. I have love. I'm doing all the affirmations. My subconscious is going, no, love hurts. So this is how I, you know, invisibly was doing relationships. I also said money, another subconscious belief, money causes misery. Now I researched and I know that my four-year-old made that decision unbeknownst to my adult self until I looked at it going, money causes misery. Neither of those is necessarily true, but they were the things, they were the pegs that were holding me back. I'm sure I probably have a few others that I haven't even excavated from the subconscious. So would you like to find out what your pegs are and what you would like to, how you would like to move into a greater experience of freedom?
Yes!
Hey, you're with me. Woo! All right. So I'm just going to share with you again a little from Ernest Holmes, a couple of things that he says before we go into an exercise. To meditate, to daily meditate on perfect life and to embody the ideal is the royal road to freedom. Okay? That means to daily embody the great ideal. Do you know what your great ideal is? And how do you embody it, right? So it is the peace that passes all understanding and the happiness of man. Let us learn to see as God must see, with perfect vision. Let us seek the good and true and believe in them with our whole heart. And limitation dissolves before our eyes. He continues, and I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I'm going to read a little before we do this little exercise. So taking a breath, and this is entitled, How to Demonstrate Liberty. To demonstrate liberty, drop all negative thoughts from the mind. Do not dwell upon adversity, but think plenty into everything, for there is power in the word and in our thoughts. Meditate on the things you are doing as already done, complete, and perfect. Try to sense the infinite life around you and within you. This life is your life now and the life of all that you do, say, or think. Meditate upon this infinite life within you and as you, until your whole being flows into it and becomes one with it. So taking a breath in, let us enter into the power of our imagination and invite you to look at what does living in freedom look like for me? What does living in freedom look like for me? What does living in freedom feel like for me? Good. And now I invite you to bring to mind one area that you'd like to experience more freedom in. What area of your life would you like to experience more freedom in? The thought that blocks that? What is the thought that blocks my having more freedom in that area? Now that we have identified the area we'd like to experience more freedom in and the thought behind it that blocks it, let's return to that first initial state of freedom that you just breathe into that freedom and allow again that feeling of freedom that is breathing you now. Imagine it surrounding and embracing the block and the thoughts. And the block, belief, is now dissolving. And so we just open our hearts in gratitude for the freedom to be who we came here to be. And so it is. So I don't have, and good job, by the way, I don't have an acronym for you today. I am so sorry. But I know, but I have the ABCD plan. So the way to freedom is first, you become aware of what it is that you would like to have freedom in. You just did that. You are aware that I would like to have more freedom in my body, in my relationship, in my finances, in my purpose, in clarity, whatever it is. So you are A, aware. Then B, what's the block? You have to identify what the block is. So we just did that. What is the blocking belief? Then C, we get to choose. We get to choose a new thought. So you've got your being aware of what freedom is, the block, and then choosing a different thought and choose to let it go. And D, you make a declaration. You declare it to be so. Now, speaking of declaration and pledges, the declaration and the Pledge of Allegiance, who doesn't know the Pledge of Allegiance? Anybody? And we all know it, right? So the Pledge of Allegiance was actually written in August of 1892. And the original form was, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It was in 1923 that the flag of the United States of America was added. And it was in 1954, in response to the communist threat of the times, President Eisenhower encouraged Congress to add the words under God, creating the 31-word pledge that we know today. So let's say it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that is the pledge. Now, the definition of a pledge, it's a pledge is to commit by a solemn promise. An allegiance, pledge of allegiance, allegiance is the loyalty or commitment to something. So I would like to invite you to perhaps this week or on the 4th of July, write your own declaration. Declaration of interdependence, perhaps. And there is a person I love, 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 Reverend David Ault. He wrote his own Pledge of Allegiance. I'll share with you parts of it. And actually, before he even wrote this, he says, in a world landscape littered in disregard rather than respect, seemingly divisive opinions towering over community and destructive choices outweighing personal integrity, it is far too easy to stand back and do nothing. It is too easy to go numb and settle for survival. A true hero is one who lives mindfully. I choose to believe that there is more power in a conscious, loving individual than, and that power can heal the planet. And I vow to spend my waking years enrolling others to live, speak, and write with unlimited vision. So, a couple of his, and I made copies for you, so you can take this home to help, and you can even use it for your own. Reverend David Ault writes, I pledge allegiance to breaking the barriers of my humanness. I recognize my time on this planet is precious and limited. Every day is a canvas on which I can create. Every day is an opportunity for me to move into the direction of my dreams and the expanded vision. By setting aside petty grievances, past mistakes, righteous anger, and my broken story, I pledge to move forward and embrace the experience of freedom right here and right now. He actually, I'm not going to read all of these. It is one of the most profound pieces, and that's why I made copies of it. I pledge allegiance to a love that has no agenda. I no longer choose to give for what I might get, to manipulate in order to control. None of you do that. To abandon before I can be abandoned, to tolerate because there is seemingly no other options. I choose love as a way of being. We were born free. All people gotta be free. And we shall be free, but we have to have that stand proud, to have the faith. And this next song really sums up today's talk. So I really want you to hear and feel and take those words in. So I'm letting you take it away. Our version of Garth Brooks, come on up. And we shall be free.